bless you, preacher.
Amen. See how we're doing with that mic there.
Yeah, I'm just going to. There you go. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Bon Dieu bon.
Tout l'air.
Tout l'air. Somebody say, bon Dieu bon. That's okay. Bon Dieu bon. It's really been a privilege and an honor. You think we sometimes get tired of saying it. But I'm forever thankful and grateful to God.
Yeah.
For putting me in the ministry.
Amen.
Saving my soul. And nobody worthless, lost, condemned. He saved me. And put premium price.
Yes, sir.
In me. And called me to preach. What an honor.
Amen.
If God would do that with me, he can do it with anybody. I want to thank Brother Byron and his family and the church, your generosity, your love, your prayers, your encouragement. I know, I think I was speaking to Brother Byron, but I know who did it. I got a knock on my door. I've got a terrible back problem, and sometimes I have issues in sleeping. But I got in that hotel, and that pillow was something else.
Yeah.
And that pillow really, really helped me. And it's moved with my neck and all that stuff. And I get up, I don't have a stiff neck. That's a big release.
Amen.
Maybe if you don't have these issues, it doesn't bother you, but it's really a problem.
Yeah.
And I got a knock on the door. Dress up, getting ready to come down. I got a knock on the door, and I looked through the little peephole. I couldn't see anybody. Opened the door, and there stood a gentleman from the hotel and said to me, "Your friend wanted you to have that."
Amen.
I said, "My friend?" He said, "Your friend." I don't know who the friend is. But he said, "Your friend wanted you to have a pillow."
Oh, wow.
And
they
bought a pillow. And said to me, "Make sure you don't mistake it with the hotel's pillow." And so I put it on my luggage, and I'll be traveling with it.
All right.
And looking forward to getting home.
Yes, sir.
But I'm trying to get another one because I know I have issues with my wife.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
She said, "How could you get one for yourself and not for me?" But thank you so much.
Yes,
you guys have no idea what that meant. Be able to come here and get to know Brother Byron. Brother Byron, we got to know him in San Diego, Lighthouse Baptist Church, and Brother Chris Cheney introduced us. Brother Chris Cheney knew my burden for the Caribbean, and the burden God had placed on me. And Brother Cheney also knew Brother Byron's burden for souls, and knew Brother Byron was going to Haiti.
Yeah.
And we corresponded by email and all that. And 2 years ago, for the first time, I went to Haiti. I've always wanted to go. And when I got there, God broke me.
Yes, sir.
He broke me for Haiti, and he broke me even further for the Caribbean. And I went back, St. Lucia, called some preachers I knew, and told them about what was happening in Haiti, and invited some to come.
Mm.
And God is doing an amazing work in Haiti.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. God is doing an amazing work in Haiti.
Amen.
An amazing work in the Caribbean.
Mm.
You need to come down. I'm preaching on a topic that's difficult to preach on. I'm preaching a topic that brings conviction to my own heart. Brings conviction to my life. And it's difficult to preach on. And sometimes I feel, I don't know about you, preacher, I feel I'm being beyond myself. I feel I'm way out swimming with sharks, way out in the deep. Insignificant. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I began preaching from this text and dealt with the issue of pride. Then I put that text behind and dealt with other issues. The pastor's burden is for this year to be more glorious than last year. Is it possible? Absolutely yes.
Yes, sir.
In verse number 14, we said, the Bible says, God is speaking. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Dealt with that. And tonight I want to deal with the issue of prayer. To my own shame, I've not been as prayerful as I ought to. And preachers, I keep on preparing that message. God brought conviction to my own heart as a preacher. We're dealing with enemies of revival. I just want to read part of a song. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek.
Oh, yes.
Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him. And run not before him. And run not before him. Whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by the Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. We said that pride is an enemy of revival. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, then pray. The enemy of revival is prayerlessness. And I don't care how much we pray. I don't care how dedicated we are.
Yes.
There is always room for improvement in our prayer lives.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Charles Finney said, prayer is the essential link in the chain of events that leads to revival.
Right.
Prayer is the essential link in a chain of events that leads to revival. It is said that most of our prayers is found in James. Quickly, and I want to do some Bible reading tonight. I've always believed if the preacher says something, you don't have to listen. But if God says something, we got to listen.
Yes, sir. Right.
James chapter 4. One writer said, in essence, most, preacher said 98% of our praying can be found in James chapter 4. From verse number 2. Ye lust and have not. ye killed and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask, what's the next word? Amen. That you may consume it upon your lust. Yeah. It is said that most of our prayers is for 3-4 minutes. We don't have much time to pray. It said that most of our praying consists of a list of requests, asking God for things, but never communicating with Him, never talking to Him like a rude, rebellious child, with a list of things to our parents, and demanding that they meet our list of requirements. There is private praying as found in Matthew chapter 6. And please again bear with me. We will be going through some scripture verses tonight. There is private praying as found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest. It's not if you are praying. It is when you are praying. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy what? And when thou hast what? Shut thy, pray to thy who? Father which is in what? And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. I want to follow this. But when you pray, use not what? As the what? For they what? Think they shall be heard of their much speaking. So there is private praying. And it is said that the person who is powerful in private praying is powerful in public. The person who spends time with God alone is powerful out in public. We have it in the reverse. We think that when we are called upon to pray in public, we deal with that. And we can make our long prayers. And people say, wow, what a spiritual man. But our own personal life is void with private praying. But thou, when thou prayest, find time with God personally. I do have family devotions with my wife, but that's not enough. I must make time to spend time with God praying by myself. Family devotions is wonderful. But brother, you need to spend time with God for you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's not often practiced today. To my shame and to our shame. Right. We believe coming to church is enough to make us spiritual.
Right.
In fact, we believe coming to church qualifies us spiritually. We believe coming to church shows our faithfulness. So we come to church on a Sunday morning, maybe skip Sunday night, and forget midweek service. And we think because we come to church regularly, that counts for our spirituality. But you see, it's in the private room,
yes, sir,
where nobody sees you. Because what's done in secret will be out in the public.
Yeah.
So when you and I Spend time with God. And I want to encourage us not to be satisfied with just family devotion. But take your Bible. If you got to get away in St. Lucia, I go by the sea early morning so nobody troubles me. But get somewhere with you and God alone and spend time, speak off with your God, spend time with God alone by yourself.
Yeah.
Ask a question. How long do we watch a television program? What's your favorite television program? Wow. We're in church. Amen. Oh, Brother Byron, you're doing something wonderful. All right. How many people like to eat? How long do you spend in front of the table? As long as the food remains, right? They came, come back. Americans are unusual folks. They, in the Caribbean, brother, we fill our plate.
Amen.
We fill our plate, amen. And what's in our plate, we eat it.
Yeah.
But in America, I found out that the guys take a little, and they go back again. Take a little, they go back again. Take a little, and by the time it's done, they've eaten more than us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's amazing how we spend a lot of time doing other things.
Yes,
how many people watch the Super Bowl? How many people watch the Super Bowl? Man, that's a spiritual church. There is private prayer.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then there is public praying.
Mm-hmm.
As found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 2, 42. Chapter 12, verse 12, when the church gathered together to pray. Just before the day of Pentecost. Uniting in prayer before God. So there is a church gathering. There is a church gathering. Gathering together for prayer. Purpose of praying as a church. And there is private praying. It's important for the church to come together to pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And it's important for individuals to pray privately.
Sure.
But there's something unique happening now in our church. We're talking about guys taking responsibility. One of the men, Brother Harrow, came to me one day and said, "Preacher, I believe we need to pray more." I said, "Great. I'm for it." He said, "Preacher, we're forming a prayer group. Announcing the church, anybody wants to come and pray. Every Friday morning, 5 o'clock. Without fail, these folks will be in the church praying. And now every Wednesday night, when we have nothing, they would gather at somebody's house. They'd be praying." What do you say, preacher? I say, because we need prayer. We need to pray. Personal and private. Now, as we do that issue of prayer, one guy, Witness Lee, said, "Prayer is the mutual contact between God and man. Prayer is man breathing God, obtaining God, and being obtained by God. Prayer is man's cooperating and working with God and allowing God to express himself and his desires through that man." I thought that was powerful. As we look at the issue of prayer and revival, if you read about revival in America and across the world, there has never been revival without prayer. Never. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." There has never been revival without prayer. It is said, between the 1776 and 1781, and you read the whole thing about revival from England to America. It is said there was a moral slump in America and America's revolution. Drunkenness became an epidemic. Out of a population, it is said, of 5,300,000 were drunkards. It is said that Chief Justice Marshall wrote to the Bishop of Virginia and said these words: church is gone. It's not amazing what's happening today. The world is now in the church. The world is doing exactly what the church is doing, exactly what the world is doing. That we can come to church and live in sin and no fuss, no problem. There is no excitement in coming to church. There is no excitement in serving God. There is no urgency to come to church. It's a pastime thing. Everybody is busy today. The love of so many people are waxing cold. Preacher, I believe somehow, if everybody made professional come to this church, you have no place to put people. We have time to do everything else, from our business to our jobs to sports to pleasure to leisure, but no time for God. And during that period of time, that was the situation. They had so many bars all over the place. The morality was low. Sin was rampant. The church was failing. Even the John Marshall said, listen, the church is gone. You go somewhere now and you're a Christian. You look down upon. The impact and, listen to me, the impact and the influence we ought to have in the world is gone. We are looked down upon. We are despised. If you really preach the word as is today, you'll be locked up. Even by the so-called brethren, you are called unloving. So the church gets itself to the position we have no stand anymore. And everything rules and reigns. And God help us, from the pulpit to the last person in the pew. It's in this time we need revival. And this is the time we must pray. And so it is said that during this period of time, immorality and drunkenness and everything was rampant. And the bishop, the chief justice, wrote to the bishop and said, hey, church is gone. A Scottish minister, Presbyterian minister, wrote a memorial pleading with people to unite in prayer. A copy was sent to Jonathan Edwards. And the rest is history. People started every Monday to come to pray. It began with a few, and then it generated. Everybody began coming together, praying, calling upon God for revival, calling upon God to turn the tide of darkness. And before you know it, revival begin to sweep. Before you know it, the bars begin to close up. The prostitutes got saved. You just name it. The place was changed because folks gathered together. They began, and by the way, businesses start closing up and allowing their people to go pray. The same businesses had no time for God. Now they allow their folks to go pray. Think about it. in America, if all the crime and all was taking place, if people truly observe the rules and the laws of God, we don't need policemen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The crime would drastically decrease. Mm-hmm. We have no more cheating. Everything is taken care of if we follow what God says. And so these folks began to pray, Brother Byron. They began to pray, and pretty soon it became a huge prayer meeting. I am told out of these great revivals, and we have, I wrote several of the men, Jonathan Edwards, William Carey, Andrew Fuller, Isaac Backus, John Wesley. Out of those great revivals, we have the modern missionary movement. But that began by praying.
Right.
You see, when God says something, he means it. God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. He says, I'm going to hear from heaven. But what is the problem, preacher? Well, Matthew chapter 7. There is a problem. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. The problem is we're not asking. Or if we ask to consume upon our lusts. Preacher, I've learned to shut my mouth. Yes, I have needs. But I have to shut my mouth sometimes and let God meet the needs.
Amen.
You understand, God knows exactly what we need.
Mm.
We're so selfish sometimes. All we think about is ourselves.
Mm.
But God did say, if we ask according to his will, he heareth us. What is the will of God? Revival. What is the will of God? Souls. You know, God is the biggest missionary in sending his only son from heaven.
Yes, sir.
To die for our sins. What is your heartbeat? What is it all about for you? Mark chapter 11. The book of Mark chapter 11. God is good. Mark chapter 11. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to encourage us to pray. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believing that you receive them, you shall what? You shall have them. John chapter 14. Isn't that amazing? That's what God is saying to his people. His people. Those who know him. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, what happened? Is that in your Bible? Hello, is that in your Bible? Listen, young people, is that in your Bible? Parents, is that in your Bible? Grandparents, is that in your Bible? That's in the Bible. That's a promise. That's a promise.
Amen,
amen, preacher.
Yes, amen. You're right, brother. Amen.
That's a promise.
Yes, sir.
Yes, still our. We're so lame. We just barely survived the Christian life. Ask. Not just a matter of prayer and asking, but when I pray, I have power over the enemy. How many of us are faced with circumstances and trials and situations, and it seems that the devil is just killing us? Are you here tonight? Seem like you've just been murdered by the devil. Seem like just one thing to the next, one thing to the next, one thing to the next. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. God is good. Ephesians chapter 6. Now understand in context, Ephesians chapter 6 have to do the spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. From verse number 11. From verse number 11, spiritual warfare. But it gets to verse number 18. After he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now young people, understand that. The wiles, the tricks of the devil, calling craftiness of the devil. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, verse 12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. But look with me at verse number 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you get from this that when I pray, I get victory over the devil.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And all his hosts. That's the only way I can win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're not fighting flesh and blood. As a pastor, sometimes I see things in the church and somebody gets a problem with the preacher. They want to verbally assault you and sometimes they won't want to come to fist fight. And I have to remind myself, it's not flesh and blood. You're not my enemy. The devil is. Your preacher is not your enemy. The devil is. The church member is not your enemy. The devil is. Now, the devil can use people, but he's not there, not your enemy. I get power over the devil. I get power over the demons. And this morning, teacher, brother, you were preaching. You were teaching. And I'm sitting there, I go, wow, wow. And I'm started writing some stuff down. Let's go Matthew chapter 16. God is good.
Yeah,
I know, but I don't know about you. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse number 18. And I say unto you, unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. Watch this. And the what? Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at verse number 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. And whatsoever thou shalt what? On earth shall be what? And whatsoever thou shalt what? On earth shall be what? Spiritual warfare. You understand? By prayer, God already said that the devil can never win against the church. You understand that? All the hosts of the enemy, in spite of what he tried to come against the church of God will always be victorious. Thank God for that. But he can use me to be part and parcel of that warfare. And he says he's given me the power as an individual Christian and as a church collectively, to do them serious damage to the works of the devil. You understand that? As an individual, first of all. Where is it us? Oh, I was when we went somewhere to preach that Sunday night. Somebody took us to preach while we were in San Diego. And the guy had a little CD from Brother Fisher preaching. And he was preaching about the sons of Stephen. They went out and tried to cast out demons. And he said, Paul, I know. This I know, but who are you? Do you understand? If you know for sure you're saved, the devil knows who you are. You understand that? Do you understand the book of Job? And the devil said to Job, you know, I'd like to take Job apart. I'd like to do that. And God says, go ahead. But you have your limit. He came back and he says, now, doth Job serve God for naught? But you've put a hedge around him. And I listened to that, and the preacher was saying, and we know it's a fact, that once you get saved, once you ask God to save you, the blood is applied. Now, you cannot see it, but the spirits see it. Do you understand that? Hello? The demons see it, and they cannot touch you unless God allows it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm able to participate. I'm able to take part both as an individual and as a church collectively.
Oh, yeah.
To do some serious damage to the work of the devil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians chapter 4. The matter of asking, the matter of power in prayer. There is power in prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Look at verse 4. And we know that most people have memorized these scripture verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Look at verse 6. Be careful for what? Wow. But in some things. That is Samuel Philbert's version. Brother, I don't know what you face. Look at me. I don't know what you face right now. But Paul says in everything. He says, don't be anxious. Don't let stress and anxiety. And we have problems with that, don't we? Amen.
Yeah.
We stress, we are anxious over tomorrow. We are anxious about our children. We are anxious about our saving. We are anxious about the bank account. We are anxious about our jobs, anxious about education. The cares of life and all these things get over us. Gets us in the dump. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get the next meal. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Listen, young man. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But then he says, young lady, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He says, let your request be made known unto whom? But I like that, Brother Joel. He says, and when you do that, and the peace of God, isn't that what we want? The peace of God. God's peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. People are saying, how in the world can he smile with all what's happening to him? How in the world can he handle that situation? If you spend time with God and committed to God, God will enable you to smile at the storm. But it's by prayer. There is power in prayer.
Yes, sir.
James chapter 5. What are you doing, preacher?
Amen.
I'm trying to encourage us to understand.
Yep.
If my people,
yes,
which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Why should I pray? Because everything we ever want is found there.
Yeah.
We have a powerful weapon.
Yeah.
More powerful than the atom bomb. It's called prayer. And it's free.
Yes,
chapter 5 of James. Whew. Look at verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said, Elias or Elijah was a man subject like passion as we are. And watch this. Natural man, Elijah, he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of how many years? 3 years and 6 months. You say, wow, Elijah's a powerful man. God is no respecter of persons. The same way God worked with Elijah, he can work with you. He can work with me. He wants to.
Yeah.
And he prayed again, verse 18. And the heavens get rain. Elijah prayed. God heard him. Power in prayer. How often should I pray? And we're just unlisted there. We saw Ephesians chapter 6. Praying always. Praying always. How do I pray, preacher? Psalm 66. Psalm 66. God is good. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to help us understand. The advantages we have over those who are not saved. But what an honor it is to know him as Savior. But you're not just Christian just like that. We have ammunition. Oh, God help me. Look at verse 17, Psalm 66. I cried unto with my mouth. Bawled out to him. You know, that matter of earnest, we talked about that. And preacher, I know everybody's different. But there's some things happening in our church today. And people go to pray, and now I know there are times I pray quietly. Nobody hear me. But brother, when you have pain, what do you do? It's if your belly is hurting you really bad, what do you do? You say, I'm quiet. I'm the quiet type. But if your belly is really hurting you, if your head is really hurting you, and you want your father, hey, if your head is really hurting you, and you in your bedroom, and daddy and mom is in their bedroom, you got tremendous pain and you want to catch their attention, what do you do? You call, and you don't call quietly. You say, Mommy, Daddy, help. No, the whole house will wake up. You're like me. Picture, you're crazy. You're strange. No, it's in the scripture. I cried out to him, not quietly, bawling out to him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 15. We know the context with tongues and all that stuff, but watch this. What is it then? You know, most times we believe that prayer is, sometimes it's crying out verbally with our mouth. But watch this. In verse 14, it also involves praying in your spirit. Sometimes nobody have to know. But through your spirit, communicating with him. But it also prayed that matter of knowledge of your mind. We have a deaf ministry in our church. The folks can't talk, but they can pray. But they don't verbalize it. Prayer is heart-to-heart communication with God. And I'm driving down the road, preacher, and I'm talking to God. I'm on the airplane, I'm talking to God. Amen. You in your classroom, nobody knows. You have some time. You're just talking to God. We have to learn to be talking to God at all times. Because prayer is the very breath that we need to fellowship and communicate to God. Prayer is not only when you come to church in prayer meeting, or not when the preacher and people get upset if the preacher don't call them to pray. What's wrong with him? He's calling everybody, but he's not calling me. I'd rather preacher don't call me. I spend private time calling unto God to help the church. So I can cry out loud. I can communicate with my spirit, with my mind. But I'm talking to him. I'm reaching out to him. It's essential for this church to pray. It's essential for this church to pray. Take time out. Get away from your busy schedule. When I was growing up, preacher, 16 years I got saved. And there's some of our, how old are you? 17. There was a group of young men in our church. I was in Barbados. Group of young men. We formed a group. Group of young men. We love sports and all that stuff, so we play in sport. But we would meet together and pray. Pastor didn't ask us to do that. You understand that? Pastor never asked us to. But we heard him preach. We understand the importance of prayer. So we just formed a group. Young men. And we started going to the Bible and reading the Bible. And then we started to pray. And then preacher never asked us to go visitation. We just went out visiting. It can happen with the young men. It can happen with the adult men. It can happen with the young ladies. It can happen with the adult ladies. We are in crisis, people. The church is in crisis. We know the gates of hell shall never prevail. Yes. But we and I have a responsibility to call upon God. We must call on God. We are commanded to call on God. Because there's power in prayer. I'll tell you what, something else. Prayer breaks the power of habitual sin. Something you're struggling with. How many get angry very fast? We're in church, let's be honest. You get angry very fast. I mean, before anything. We have our church, the blood bank. Some years they've not come. But the blood bank, the blood bank used to come to our church regularly. Just park there and take blood. Giving blood. Some people just believe they have more blood than others. Whatever it is that you're faced with, you spending quality time with God will break that. You understand that God really wants to help us? God really wants his church to stand out. But the problem is we have not because we ask not. And the problem is when we ask in our lust. But when was the last time you went to God without asking him for you? You 16 years? 17. How long you have in study again?
How long have been studying?
How long you have continued your studies? Roughly.
3 years.
17 plus 3 is 20. 20, 21, 22, and this young guy would say, I want to get married. Sis, you do exactly what my wife would have done. But listen, young man, start praying now about your wife. Now. You know, it's amazing what's happening in our Christian church. So many homes are breaking up. We have the tool to call upon God to change things, but we don't use it. Remember when I was in Bible school and I saw this young lady? There was nothing. But when I felt, I went back home, back to the college, and decided to pray and fast. Call upon God. This young man, you get married to the wrong person. It's like you have a bad toothache that will not go away. You understand that? Oh, you're looking okay, you're looking handsome and all that stuff, you're looking sharp. But if you get married to the wrong person, all these nice features will be gone. I'm serious. My brother Byron, you know what I'm talking about. We say to people, wait on God and spend time with God. You have business, spend time talking to God about your business. You have a husband whose head is hard, spend time, leave Brother Aaron alone. But spend time talking to God about your husband who's stubborn. You understand? You're the child of the king. Yeah. Are we okay? Yeah. You're the daughter of the king. And if he's mistreating you, you don't have to beat him up. You don't have to hold him by the throat. Spend time calling upon God. Because you cannot change him. You cannot change her. God can. You got problems with your children? Call upon God. You want to see changes in the church? Call upon God. You want to see change, and we're closing now, but I mean, you could go to Timothy where Paul says to Timothy now, pray for those in authority. Now, I know it's not looking good now. Listen, by the way, let me tell you, if I was there, I wouldn't vote Obama. Could I say that again? If I'm an American, I wouldn't vote Obama. He's against what I believe. But listen to me. The problem is not Obama. I see the Facebook, and many of my preacher friends, they put a lot of negative things, even to the point of degrading the president. And I learned long time ago that I have to respect those in authority. I may disagree with them, but I have to respect the position. And while we go, we rage and all that stuff, why don't we rage on our knees? Now, we talk about prayer, but we don't believe it. And sometimes I preach about it, but when actual time comes, do we really practice it? Do you understand that God can change the heart of the king? Do you understand power belongs to God? God puts up and he puts down. Are we okay? Hello, are we okay? It's all within the hand of God. God is sovereign. God is powerful. And there is no power that can resist God's power. Are you okay? Yeah. If you have issues in your life, why don't you call upon God? Yeah. Why don't you? Call upon God. By the way, if you spend time with God, you'll hate sin. I found out the closer I get to God, the more I sometimes hurt myself and I said, Lord, help me. I don't want to displease you, Lord.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Sin will keep you from praying, and praying will keep you from sin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Whatever your language is, pray. Whatever your nationality is, pray. Prayer is free, but prayer is work. We can go to the disciples who are in the garden, and Jesus said to them, would you tarry with me for a few? While I go yonder and pray, he came back and they were sleeping. How many times have you, I don't know, you're praying and you're sleeping. I found myself several times kneeling down and I'm sleeping. Prayer is work.
Yeah.
It's good work.
That's right.
So I recommend to the church, this church, that you can impact Seattle. It seemed there is great darkness in Seattle. It seemed like churches can't be built in Seattle and these areas. But God's power is greater than the devil's power. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We have within our power, we have within our armor, prayer.
Yeah, right.
That can help us conquer the enemy. Pray, folks. From prayer groups. When time for prayer in the church, turn up. Spend time praying privately. Then collectively as a church and see God make the impossible possible. Revival still can happen, but we got to pay the price. Your children can turn around. Your grandchildren can be turned around. Your husband can be turned around. Your wife can be turned around. The church can be turned around. The president can be turned around. Is it, we were talking as we were coming in, and we said, isn't that amazing? You just imagine. God has a good sense of humor. You know that?
Yeah.
With all what's happening, supposing we pray that Barack Obama gets saved. And we should. And just supposing God answers our prayers and Barack Obama is genuinely saved. You know the impact he can have? You understand that? The impact he can have in the black community as well as other communities? It's in our hands. Whether it's Cruz or Trump or Hillary or whoever. Oh, what's the other guy's name? Bernie? Amazing. We have something that can change the hand for God's glory. You know you're a powerful young man. You can pray and ask God to work, and God will work for you as well as he worked for your dad. There is no difference between your daddy and you as far as God is concerned. You know you're saved?
Yes.
God loves you as well as he loves your daddy.
Yes.
And you can have power with God more than the preacher. Learn to love God and spend time with him.
Yes.
Make him your best friend. Talk to him. God may raise you to be the most powerful person on the face of the earth. Change lives for his glory. Let's pray. If my people you satisfied with your prayer life? I'm not. There's so many things that comes in the way, preventing from praying as I ought to. And I'm preaching now, but I know I'm supposed to be praying more. Would you determine tonight? God has placed in my hand tool of prayer to change the world, to change my family, to bring revival in America, to turn the tide of darkness. And God help me, I'll use that. And so this year will be a more glorious year as far as the church is concerned and as far as my own life is concerned. Father, oh Lord, I'm guilty. My conscience is troubling me. I'm sorry. I'll have to spend more time with you. God, would you place within our hearts that passion for you? That passion to spend more time with you. You've given us prayer to change our families, to change our world, to change our church, but God, we're not using it. If my people shall call by me, shall humble themselves and pray, you promise to hear. Help us to do our part. Help us to go beyond our flesh. To become your friend.